Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm very good, thank you, and yourself?
I'm well, I'm very well. I love the place you're playing in D.C., Nick. It's going to be great. Saucer Full of Secrets at D.A.R. Constitution Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right next to the White House, in case you were wondering. If you have not been there, you could walk. It's a two-block walk to the White House.
Excellent. I'll see if Donald Trump would like to invite us to tea.
He may. That's great. You know what? I think,
could be really scary.
True. That's true. And I've watched some of the stuff on YouTube, and I'm excited to see this. And I want to give people an idea of what you're bringing over here to America, because it's done very well in Europe, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. No, people seem to really like it.
Yeah. And what about you? I mean, this is your baby, so how did you pick the people to involve with this? And, you know, how did you pull this together? Because you could just lay on the couch if you wanted to.
Well, that's exactly it. I was lying on the couch, and then they came and made me come out with them. It's been very hard. No, I've really enjoyed it, but actually it was a band that sort of formed itself. I didn't go out and look for them. They came and suggested that we should do it together, which is really nice. You know, it was sort of, in a way, it's almost a return to the way one formed a band 50-odd years ago.
Right.
And I think it was Lee Harris who actually said to Guy, you know, really, let's get Nick to come out and play. Mm-hmm. And then we found Don Beacon, and then Gary just said he'd really like to get involved, and suddenly we had a band. And so we did a couple of days rehearsal, and then we played some pubs, and it went really well, and we just thought, yeah, let's do this. And I have to say, I absolutely love it. It's almost like a time machine. It sort of goes back, takes me back 50-odd years.
Oh, that's great.
To playing to a slightly smaller, well, to a smaller audience, but a more intense one.
I saw some of that on YouTube where you did play some clubs. DAR is about 3,500. It's the ultimate awesome, classy venue in D.C. I mean, I love the place so much. I've seen everybody there that's played there. But Nick, this is cool because members of Pink Floyd playing live, as you know, are rare. And this is something that has lots of interest just based on that, even if it's unfamiliar to people.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that people might respond to the idea of not necessarily hearing all the best-known Pink Floyd things,
which,
you know, David and Roger do beautifully anyway, and virtually every tribute band can play better. Well, they can do it sort of nearly, if not better than we can.
Yeah.
And so it's really nice to have a repertoire that actually includes things that people are maybe less familiar with, but are very much part of the Pink Floyd story, you know, with Sid's things, but also something like Set the Controls, that was one of Roger's early songs, or One of These Days, which is very much part of, still part of our repertoire, or has been part of the more modern Pink Floyd repertoire.
Right, yeah. I know Roger loved Animals, and, you know, those songs were so long and so intense and detailed. It's crazy, because I think about the drums. Pink Floyd is not a dance beat in any way, except for On the Wall sometimes, but your drums add so much to the music that they are the bottom and the anchor and everything about it. I mean, I love Time. I love all just the way you've taken the set of drums and made the sounds that you've made. It's been crazy.
Oh, well, that's good. There's no such thing as too much praise.
Well, hey, look. Pink Floyd is on a level of its own, and, you know, as a member of that band for all these years, you have to feel that, Nick, you know? I mean, there's no league that you're in. You're on your own.
Well, I don't quite see it like that, because
no?
I think, you know, one of the nice things, in a way, was we were part of a golden age, and I don't mean to detract from music today, because actually I think the level of musicianship now is as good or better than it ever was in, let's say, late 60s, early 70s. But we did have a golden age in terms of music being important. And I think it's slightly sad in a way that music has become devalued, I think, by piracy and downloading and streaming and so on.
Yep.
It just, people don't take it as seriously as they did then. And we were really lucky to live through that period. And I think the interest in these sort of legacy bands is based on this, that people have a memory of sort of music that was, as I say, just taken seriously.
Yes. Oh, man. And just so overwhelming when you hear it. I mean, Dark Side of the Moon, you were, you know, a part of Pink Floyd before that even, but that was so groundbreaking because nobody even has gotten there today, Nick. I mean, on a 4-track or a 24-track or whatever you were using, Pro Tools hasn't even gotten to that point that it can be as good as Dark Side.
Well, that's a very odd thing as well, which is part of is the technology that has actually got to the point where it's almost too good.
Yeah.
First of all, people aren't listening on good enough equipment, so they're missing part of what's done. But also, the human ear seems to prefer that analog sound, and that's why there's this resurgence of vinyl, because actually it's not as good quality as a CD, but it has a slightly more pleasant sound, a warmth to it, that you don't get off digital.
Right. Man, it's wild. You've seen some stuff that I think only most of us can think about and imagine. And to think about the fact that you were able to keep this together for so long. You had four amazing musicians in one band. And now you can come and branch out and take those things and share them with people and do some more.
Yeah, and it's just the best fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the greatest thing about being in a band is playing live, and hopefully, you know, one can find an audience who want to come and hear it. But it doesn't matter the size of the audience. The big thing is just to be able to do it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I love your humility, Nick, man. It's so great to talk to you, and I'll let you go, but I'll be there on April 22nd, and I want everybody to come down and join me.
Great.
Yeah, DAR Constitution Hall. It's a great place. Parking is easy everywhere. I want people to know that. I mean, we're in Baltimore. We're 35 miles away, and that's nothing. So we'll be there, and Nick, I just really appreciate you. I don't think I've ever heard you on American radio, at least in Baltimore I haven't, so I really, really appreciate this.
Oh, good. Well, thank you.
Yeah, man.
And, nice to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm Stash.
Stash, yeah.
Yeah, so you take care, man. Pleasure talking to you, too. I mean, Nick Mason was part of writing Time.